Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on the Air, the official podcast of SoxTalk.com. I'm Marius Gleese, coming to you from Chicago. And of course, there's Jason Gage. He's coming from California. What's up, Jason?
Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm going to use my same cornball entrance every show.
As will I.
But we're now a week away from opening day. Sunday, White Sox, Cleveland Indians. Best rivalry in the AL Central last year, and the reason why the White Sox won the division. It's going to be great to see some baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But I know Mario wants to talk about John Rooney. He's a little frustrated.
You know, I think, you know, he's a good announcer. There's really no doubting that. And based on what many people have said, and of course they had that rankings last year, I believe, that had him and Farmer as two of the top radio guys in baseball or in sports, per se. Or maybe, I don't know which one it was, but people really need to relax. It's an announcer. It's a play-by-play announcer.
Only time I've heard him is the World Series clips, and I gotta say, those things, when I listen to him, it's a goner. You know, when Canerco hits his home run, and
you know,
when Jinx saves it, and they win the World Series after a Uribe's play, I gotta admit, those are just awesome calls. I can see Chris Singleton, and he probably sounds like me on the air, and I wouldn't want to listen to me do play-by-play. And I'm totally against you on this, Mario. I think Rooney, a few times I've heard him, he sounded awesome. That said, I don't listen to him every day. And you got to remember, I'm out here in California. I'm stuck listening to frickin' Rex the Wonder Dog Huddler. So, you know, my opinions of a broadcaster are obviously far less.
Plus,
I love DJ.
But as far as the World Series goes, the Sox won the World Series. I think a lot of announcers who were doing that, maybe they wouldn't have been as good, but it was still the World Series. People are going to get excited nonetheless. My whole point in him is, while he's a good announcer, the fact is one part of announcing is that you have to know if a ball is going out of the park. And it's ridiculous how many times I would listen to the radio and hear him say, "It's a high fly ball, deep to right field, caught by Tadahito Iguchi." The second baseman catches a ball to deep right field. How is this possible? He's a good announcer.
Like
he's
Jim
a good
Perry.
Announcer. No, I'm not joking. This is what he does every single game. He's a good announcer, but he is not the greatest, like some people say. Just people need to get over him and realize that he's an announcer. Who cares?
So you're telling me he's the Southsider version of Chip Carey from all his years when Sosa would just hit the ball way in the air and the freaking catcher would feel that, yeah,
anybody. Anybody who's listened to Rooney would agree with me on that. And if you don't agree with me on that, I don't know what you're listening to. Cause he,
well, I'm not listening to anything. I've heard the guy call highlights. That's about all I've heard. I've never listened to him call a game.
His home run call is good, and you know, him and Farmer were a good duo. But, I mean, he wasn't that special as far as I'm concerned.
Put it this way. The only time I heard him was a spring training game. And the only thing I heard on the game was Ed Farmer talking about golf. So I didn't even know what the hell was going on. And I quickly changed the channel.
All right, well, let's get into Dustin Hermanson. It looks like he's going to start the season in the DL, right?
Yep. Williams said he's hopeful that he can be ready by June. June! This team is in trouble. Well, not really
the bullpen
in trouble, but the bullpen is in trouble.
Yes.
I mean, we go out and trade for Matt Thornton, and the good news is, you were just telling me before the show that Cheat on his blog, Southside Sox.
I believe it was his blog. I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm sure it was. If it's not, we'll give him some free
Southside
pub anyway.
Sox, all right?
That's yeah, SouthsideSox.com. He said that his last start, Thornton, or his last appearance, Thornton actually looked pretty decent, and he was throwing strikes. It was either an inning or two innings scoreless. That said, you got to be worried when you see the guy's giving up 22 hits in 9 innings. 15 runs.
Here's my thoughts. He's obviously been a bust since being, what, a first-round pick with the Mariners. But Kenny Williams traded for him. Don Cooper wanted him. Wasn't Don Cooper the guy who wanted him? In his first start, in his first appearance with the Sox, before they really had a chance to do anything with him, he got shelled just like he was in Seattle. People need to cool off and give him time. And his last start, he pitched 2 scoreless innings. So maybe that's progress on the way. Maybe Cooper has had a chance to work with them, and they're tweaking something. I'm not sure, but I think people need to cool off a little bit on him and just give him a chance. Maybe he's going to suck, but don't just base it on what he did with the Mariners and what he's done in a couple of games here, because based on his last start, he apparently looked a lot better. So maybe that's a sign of things to come. I don't know, but I think people just need at least give him a chance.
I agree we need to be patient. But World Series ball clubs can't have a guy coming in that's still a work in progress coming out of the bullpen. This team needs to make upgrades. Set it week one of the show, week two of the show, week three of the show, when I did my stupid solo show.
Yeah.
It's an obvious theme. It's going to be a theme all season unless Ken Williams can make some changes.
Oh, yeah.
And what hurts about Thornton, he needs to be making these adjustments in AAA. The problem is he's out of options. So luckily he's been so pathetic all spring that he may actually slide through if the Sox do opt to send him down. But with Hermanson going down, I can't see the Sox sending him down to AAA, especially after we traded for him. The thing I don't get, though, is how, to switch subjects again randomly, is how Dustin Hermanson, how Ken Williamson say he's ready by June. I don't see what could possibly happen to make his back all of a sudden feel better. He's not going to have surgery, and I don't blame him because you have no idea how you're going to respond to it, but it's not like this pain's going to go away. This is going to be there.
A back problem is a back problem.
Yeah. It's not just going to magically disappear, so it's just a question of whether he can pitch with the pain. And so, if Hermanson, who I think has got to be one of the tougher guys in baseball, and I'm guessing he's throwing in a lot of pain, can't do it now, what's to say he's going to be able to do it in June, July, August, or even October?
Yeah.
I just have no faith in that.
No, they can't rely on him at all. They need another middle reliever, possibly even late inning guy, depending how Bobby Jenks fares with the struggles he's had. And then maybe later in the season when you're looking for that fifth guy out of the bullpen, if Hermanson's healthy, then you can bring him up just as a veteran presence. But they should not be relying on him to come back and if he does come back, be productive at all.
Yeah, but if you rely on him for anything, you rely on him as being your last guy in the pen. Anything more you get out of him at this point is pure butter.
But they're looking at bringing three lefties now up.
Are they talking about Javier Lopez also coming up with Thornton and Kotz? Well, and obviously Logan?
Well, that would make four lefties.
Oh, yeah, I can't count.
So so one of them is gone, but you would think there's going to be three lefties now because there's really not a right-handed candidate unless they're thinking about bringing a Tim Redding or a Nomo. And I'm thinking they're still on the team, so I'm not sure if they're going to bring them two. It looks like they may bring three lefties. So if Thornton is a guaranteed, because like you said, he's out of options, so if they don't bring him up, he's gone. If he's a guarantee to be on this roster, it's between Javier Lopez and Boone Logan.
And that's not a competition. I mean, we got to see Logan pitch last week, and we didn't get to see much of him, but he has good control and keeps the ball down.
Good.
And I saw right afterwards, I guess he pitched against Arizona or wherever Steve Finley is. Oh, San Francisco, that's where he pitched. And he went right through all the veterans in that lineup, both lefties and righties. So, I mean, you got to be impressed with what the guy's done, and he's deserved that opportunity.
I'm gonna
Javier Lopez has done nothing in the major leagues. At least Boone Logan hasn't proven that he stinks in the major leagues.
Well, here's my thing. Boone Logan, he's not a top prospect, is he?
No.
He more or less
made the major leagues until he changed his arm angle.
If he was a top prospect and it was a situation where you didn't want to bring him up and kind of maybe have him lose confidence or something like that, in his case, if you send him down to AAA or AA, that might be the end of his career. He might be really hot right now and you got to use the hot hand. I have no problem then bringing him up and just using him. If he's hot right now, bring him up and see what happens, because it wouldn't bother me at all if he were to go out there and fall off a little bit, because he's not a prospect that you're going to be careful with from the mental side of things. I believe he's got the hot hand. You got to use it.
And plus, Javier Lopez is nothing. I mean, you might as well take your chance on Logan. I just wish it never came to this. I really put a lot of blame on Ken Williams for this. He went out and did a lot of things, but we got outbid barely from Mike Myers. And in the end, all that money we spent on Javier Vasquez, I would have been much happier if we went out and improved our bullpen as opposed to go out and get Javier Vasquez.
And really, the bullpen wasn't really a problem. I mean, Damaso Marte and Vasquez, they were solid relievers. They were solid late-inning relievers. The problem is that they wanted to add depth to their rotation.
At the price of our bullpen. And that's going to lead to some blown saves this season. And it's going to frustrate the heck out of Sox fans late in innings.
Yes.
Especially if Bobby Jenks continues to be fat and out of shape. I mean, Ozzie just hammered him. You know, a couple days ago, Ozzie called him fat. You know, said he was selfish because you can't do this to your team. You know, 25 guys come into camp. He has no problem if you don't produce. But if you come into camp where you're not even in a position to play because you're not in shape, that's just selfish. And I'm glad Ozzie went off on Jenks for that, because Jenks needs to realize it's not just about him, it's about the team. Mm-hmm. And that's why Ozzie's such a damn good manager. He makes a lot of stupid calls in game to game, but he makes players understand exactly where they see with him or where they fit eye to eye with him.
Yeah.
And they just know that they're going to get the best out of him in terms of motivating that team. He's going to have these players playing hard.
Now, with McCarthy, I know we were in spring training last week. You talked about it in the show you did by yourself. There's going to be some troubles with him coming out of the bullpen, adjusting to it, or there has been troubles with him adjusting to the role.
Yeah, he's been pretty ugly so far. His command is not what it usually is. He's a pretty pinpoint accurate pitcher, and without his command, he's been struggling.
But do you see maybe a situation where they maybe take a Jose Contreras from the rotation and pop him in the bullpen, or do something where they bring McCarthy in the rotation and he's a starter in the bullpen because they need that bullpen help?
I could see it happen, but only if they think that moving Contreras is going to be better for his arm. And speaking of Contreras, it's good to see that he actually was able to throw, I think, 4 innings, and he was able to drop down, because I know there's been some concerns that dropping down is what caused his elbow pain.
Yeah.
And the White Sox are going to be careful, because if Contreras can't drop that arm down, he's going to be the Contreras of old, and we need the effective Contreras. So I really hope that he's going to be able to stay healthy all season, because he's going to be a big factor, because this guy's an ace.
Yeah. Now going to the lineup, Tarito Iguchi. We talked about him and the possible concerns on both of our ends, I think, and you were actually hinting that Cintron may even top him and become the second baseman sometime this season. I just had general concerns for Iguchi. He's been struggling. He's been moved up to the 2 spot. Was it a bit premature for getting to do that? Should they just left it the way it is? Keep Uribe in the 2 hole?
I honestly can't figure out the move, but I guess it makes sense. It's not like Uribe was hitting the ball well, and we know Iguchi wasn't hitting the ball well. So in the end, it's probably better putting guys where they're comfortable. Maybe Iguchi needs to know that he has to keep his swing short. It could be when he's down in the 6 or 7 spot, he's trying to hit for more home runs, and his swing gets all out of whack.
That's always been my concern with him.
I stick to my prediction that we're going to see Cintron playing a lot of time at second base this year. I think Iguchi has that. He has a slow bat, and I wonder how it's going to translate. I think more teams are going to start busting him with fastballs, and I'm going to be curious to see how he handles it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And Cintron, he's had a fine spring. A lot of the bench players, I think Mikoviak has had a fine spring. Ross Glode, I think he's had the most at-bats, or maybe he's like third in at-bats, and he's batting 330-something. So a lot of these bench players, they've been having some pretty impressive swings.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And it's good to see Glode has earned that final bench spot, or at least it appears. You never know with Ozzie, but it'll be good. He worked hard. He got hurt in a game when we saw him play. The very next day, they had to walk him off the field. The very next day, he's back out there at first base. Borcher was traded. He must have had the biggest damn smile on his face, just knowing that he's probably made the team.
Finally.
Yeah. I'm glad Ozzie rewarded him, because he's been busting it out there. He worked hard. And since we're two of Glode's probably biggest fans, I think we're both happy, and hopefully he'll show everyone else what he can really do. He's a good hitter.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into the other divisions around baseball. Most, particularly the AL Central. We'll get into the other teams and then, dive into the East and the West and all around. So we'll be right back.
A swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field. This might go. It's a gutter. That ball's got a chance. That ball is gone. Holy Toledo. What a way to finish.
Major League Baseball, spring training, the World Baseball Classic. For the most interactive, opinionated, and in-depth baseball talk podcast on the web, plug in to Outsider Radio and Brandon Rossi.
What an embarrassment are the Devil Rays. They are seriously looking into dropping Devil from the name and calling the team just the Rays. There was a negative association with the term Devil Rays and Devil. Hold the train. That negative association is losing. So to fix that, you don't go change in the name. You don't go, there's a quick fix. That'll be easy. I think the fix is, if the negative association is that you lose, you try to win.
It's baseball talk from the outside looking in. Major League Baseball talk you control on the web's premier sports podcast network, Outsider Radio on 360. The Pitch.
Welcome back to Sox Talk Radio. In the first half of the show, we talked a bit about the White Sox. Now we're going to bring up our divisional preview. But before we do that, I want to make a quick pub to my sites. We just opened up, if you're a Blackhawks fan, and I know there's so few of them, www.talkbhawks.com, B-H-A-W-K-S.com. Then we have talkbears.com and talkbulls.com. And obviously, if you're listening to the show, you've already heard of SoxTalk.com, recently featured in Sports Illustrated.
What about the Bandits?
Oh, well, I think we should make a Jenny Finch page, because I think that's all anyone cares about on Bandits. But now, write down your papers and get ready to go to Vegas, because you're listening to two experts that you can just take our opinions to the bank. And any profits you make, you know, give us a cut. Any losses you make, go blame yourself for listening to us. So we're going to start things off with our own division, the American League Central. I think we already know the moves the Chicago White Sox made, so we're going to quickly run down what the other teams have done and then give you our prediction and some X factors that you maybe want to look out for. Personally speaking, I'm picking the White Sox on top. I'm guessing Mario's doing the same.
Yeah, I think most people are. They are the champions.
Sox fans. Yeah. How nice of a ring is that? World Series champions. But the players are going to have to forget all about that now because the season's going to be starting up and records are 0-0 again. Last year means nothing. Minnesota Twins is who I have coming in second place.
Ooh.
Not the Cleveland Indians. The Twins, they added a little bit of offense. They added Luis Castillo to the top of the order to go with Shannon Stewart. So that's going to be a real nice 1-2 punch.
I think that's one of the more underrated trades, if that's even the right way to say it. I think that's one of the smallest trades that was made that might have the biggest impact is Castillo, because I think with him and Stewart at the top of the lineup, I think that could be a really good duo right at the top. And then when you have a guy like Santana in the rotation,
just look out. They added Rondell White, the ageless man, to DH. I mean, that's not a big move, but Rondell White, he puts up good numbers. I mean, he did a pretty good job in Detroit the last couple years. He's a solid ball player. I mean, the Twins lacked offense last year because they lost Torrey Hunter. They lost, you know, they lost guys. And this is a big upgrade. But the best thing is they got the ageless man, Ruben Sierra. Is anyone more clutch than that? He was the reason the Yankees have been making the playoffs these past few years. It's great to have him on board in Minnesota.
Are you serious? I have no problem with Sierra. I think he's a solid bench player, a good pinch hitter, but to say he's the reason.
He's not the reason why the Yankees. What, you telling me it's Jeter and A-Rod and Randy Johnson? Is that why?
Well, it's definitely not Randy Johnson.
Did you see the screen? He was on The Simpsons, the episode I watched, and he picked on Ned Flanders.
What? Yeah, recent episode?
Yeah, I don't know if it was new or not. I've never seen it.
Don't watch The Simpsons.
All right, I apologize. I apologize, Mom. I'll never watch it again. But the real X factor of the Minnesota Twins this year is the guy that really stunk for him last year. That's Justin Morneau. Morneau has so much power. The Canadian. I mean, he's the rocking Canadian. I think he's Canadian. And he should hit 40 home runs this year. So pick him up in your fantasy leagues, everyone. Another X factor there, they got that good young pitcher, Francisco Liriano. I expect him to come in and really pitch well and make that rotation even better with guys like Brad Radke,
and Silva,
Johan Santana, Silva, and all the sneaking young pitchers the Twins do such a good job developing.
And to bring in the bullpen, and they just continually do the job year after year.
I mean, they lost J.C. Romero. They lost Jock Jones. But what they're adding in Francisco Liriano, having a healthy Torrey Hunter. I mean, Torrey Hunter, he's big for that team. And then Luis Castillo, that's a much improved offense.
Yes.
And it's the same pitching staff that has the features, you know, the best guy in baseball in my mind, Johan Santana.
Well, I don't care for Torrey Hunter too much, and I think you know that. But one guy who I'm interested to see this year, I think he's going to have a bigger year, is going to be Joe Maurer. I think he's going to have a solid year. But he is going to be batting third behind Castillo and Stewart. So you put him third behind there. I was saying before, that's a good top of the order. You're going three deep now, potentially, as far as guys who have a little bit of speed with it.
Yeah, and Maurer's got some pop. The only thing with him is, can he stay healthy? I mean, he's had
the
problems, but he's a really fine-looking young player. Yeah. And the Twins got a lot of those. They got guys like Jason Kubel, I can't even think of all the young players they have. They're going to be a pretty fun team to watch. And the big reason why I think the Indians are going to be below, we're going to talk about it real quick nextly, is the guys they lost in that rotation. And I just
most notably Millwood.
Oh, yeah. Millwood pitched awesome last year.
Yeah. Lowest ERA, I believe, in the American League.
Yeah, and I don't know how he did it because there was always runners on base the games I watched, but he's one of those guys that still, you know, he just kind of sucks it up and pitches better with runners on.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they lost Ellerton too, but I mean, Ellerton kind of came out of nowhere last year, so who knows how he's really going to pan off for the Royals. But that rotation, they lose a Millwood, they bring in Paul Byrd, who was decent last year, but he's not going to be a solid replacement for a Millwood.
Oh, that's a definite downgrade. Jason Johnson over Scott Ellerton, with the way Ellerton pitched last year, is another downgrade in that rotation. So, I mean, Cliff Lee, Jake Westbrook, CC Sabathia is a good threesome of pitchers, but with Sabathia, I'm always concerned about his injuries because it seems like every other year he's seriously injured.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think potentially you could have – it all depends how Westbrook actually – develops. I mean, he's such a talented pitcher, but it seems like he has these, when he's off, he's incredibly off, and then when he's on, he's on fire. If he could kind of find that halfway point and actually be a consistent pitcher, and you have Cliff Lee and Sabathia pitching up to their capabilities, you're going to have a solid 1-2-3. But after that, it's a lot of question marks. And the bullpen, they lost Bobby Howry.
And they kept Bob Wickman.
Yeah.
That's a downgrade right there. Keeping Bob Wickman and not getting yourself a good closer is an issue. I realize their bullpen started to pitch real well late in the season and was pretty damn good most of the season, but they really downgraded. They're going to miss Bob Howry. They're going to really miss keeping Bob Wickman because they're going to need a legitimate closer.
Yeah.
Because Fat Man ain't going to keep it up no more.
You know, he had a whole bunch of problems last year. I mean, he had some saves, and I believe he had some decent numbers, but he put a lot of people on base. And he had a lot of situations where he was a hit away from blowing a game. So to expect him to come into the season, especially with his weight and his age, and just to do it again, that's risky.
Think of Rod Beck when the Cubs won the wild card, and how I think it was the wild card, and how great of a year he had. I'm talking when Sosa was bopping all those home runs.
Yeah.
And then the next year, but even when he had that great year, every game you were just sitting there crapping your pants because you thought, Cub fans were just dying, at those games.
Yeah.
And then the next year, he was just awful. That's what I see happening with Wickman. And the Indians are going to have to find someone else to pitch. I think they have that guy, Cabrera. He's really, really good young pitcher, and I think they're planning on grooming him for that closer spot. Yeah.
And while we're, kind of downing on their rotation and their bullpen offensively, you have to give them credit for signing some of these guys long-term, just like they did in the 90s.
That's their best plan. They give the younger guys long-term contracts. Peralta, Martinez, Hafner, I think, have all gotten long-term deals.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the next year or two, Sizemore's going to be next because Sizemore's a great player. But I'm excited they lost Coco Crisp. I realize they got themselves a touted prospect in Andy Marte, but Coco Crisp was just a pain in the butt of any team because that guy's a good hitter who could foul off pitches.
And it's not like you traded away a veteran. Coco Crisp is, 25 years old? You're trading a 25-year-old guy who still has potential and could even get better for a prospect. It didn't make much sense to me.
No, it was an awful move. Great move for the Red Sox. Really good move because he's going to be there to replace Johnny Damon to at least some point. And Crisp has only gotten better over time. And I'm really glad. I mean, their biggest losses on this Indians team, and the reason they're going to finish third place, Coco Crisp, gone. Kevin Millwood, gone. They replaced him with Paul Byrd, who's going to get hurt. And then you lost Bobby Howry, which is a big loss of that bullpen.
Yeah. You know what? I would have to agree with you. I would think most people would probably have the Indians finishing second, and it's because of that offense. If that offense could somehow figure it out and know how to put up their numbers across the season and not just in a couple months like they've done the last 2 years, if the offense could get consistent, then it's going to carry them a good load. And like I said before, you have guys like Sabathia and Lee and Westbrook. But in the case of the Twins, like we were saying, their rotation, when you have one of the best pitchers in baseball in Santana, and you have an upgraded offense, and you have a deep bullpen, I would have to say the Twins are going to finish second as well. But the bottom of the division, the Tigers and Royals, I think that we're pretty much set that those two teams are going to be finishing fourth and fifth, respectively.
Whoa, I'm putting the Kansas City Royals as my X-factor to finish first place. because they just signed David DeJesus.
Interesting.
To a 5-year extension.
Can you stop knocking on DeJesus?
You go put down.
What's your problem with DeJesus?
Hey, DeJesus, how can you bet against him? They probably have 1,000,000-1 odds. You just go put a dollar down, you could be a millionaire.
I don't like the sarcasm.
Hey, you probably got more luck in that than winning the lottery. But
you're right.
Honestly, the Royals actually had a pretty good offseason.
They did.
They're not going to be good, but they added guys that
they're
are going
to be competitive. Mankiewicz, Cruzolani. Well, no, I'm saying on a game-to-game basis, they'll be competitive. And what I mean by that is you'll have closer games. They'll still lose them, but they'll be closer games.
They'll be competitive till June. But the reason I love this is that they got guys that are all going to be traded to contenders. So basically, they signed prospects and all these guys that they added. And Grudzielanek, like Mankiewicz, Ellerton, Redmond, Reggie Sanders. All five of those guys are going to be traded at the deadline. The best part is, especially guys like teams looking for a good second baseman, Grudzielanek, you're going to give up a pretty good prospect. They'll probably get 8 or 9 quality prospects out of those five guys, and that'll help maybe give them a decent chance at rebuilding.
And this is exactly why I don't understand why some of these small market teams, these teams they don't spend a lot of money, why they don't do stuff like this. You get decent veterans who will have some value at the trade deadline, and you bring in some young guys in, and then the next year you have some talent if you don't have any talent in your minor league systems. Why more teams don't do stuff like this, I don't know.
And it makes no sense, because you could even get lucky, and these guys could help you get up to a respectable number where you can start really building things in the next year. So, I mean, you always have that as a background option, and if that doesn't work, you trade and you get prospects for them. I mean, it's just a great, great thing the Royals GM did. No, but I want to talk about the Royals X Factor. I think the only guy who has a chance of being successful, he's going to be being successful in the PGA. Zach Greinke, their touted prospect, is talking about retiring from baseball and playing professional golf. You know things are bad when that's happening.
How bad for the Royals? This was their guy. This was the guy who was supposed to come into their rotation at, 20, 21 years old and just be their ace for many years. And then for him to go and just consider leaving for golf?
It's just great. This is why the Royals are the Royals. I mean, it was their own damn fault. They rushed the kid, and what happens? You bring him up, and he's on such a terrible team. I mean, the Royals were a triple-A team last year.
Maybe did they introduce him to golf?
Who knows?
Maybe that was a problem.
Maybe they should put in contracts specifically, you can never play golf. It's not an injury risk. They're afraid they're going to jump and go find another career, because playing with the Royals is just...
It is very relaxing. It's probably more relaxing golfing than playing with the Royals.
Well, I would think when you play with the Royals, after a point, you probably just sit there and losses are just expected and you just get, sick of it. But it's probably relaxing. You're getting, $300,000-$400,000 a year. He's got a signing bonus. And now he's going to go play some golf. It's going to be a great retirement at 21 years old or whatever, however old he is.
And obviously you were joking when you said the Royals were going to finish first. At least I hope you were. Can they at least finish above the Tigers?
No. Actually, I'm actually going to be dead serious when I say this. I actually think the Tigers are a pretty scary ball club. They have a legitimate manager now in Jim Leland. They added Todd Jones and Ken Rogers. Not that that's a big deal. They overpaid for, I think, both of them. But the Rangers have a good offense. They got Pudge Rodriguez. They got Dimitri Young. They got that young first baseman. What's his name? Shelton, who hit a bunch of runs in part of the season. They got Polanco. They got Carlos Guillen. They got Magaly Ordóñez.
Yes.
This is a good ball club. And they got some young pitching. They got Jeremy Bonderman and Justin Verlander. Those are good young pitchers.
I'll say this when it comes to the Tigers, and I said this last year. I didn't care for their moves of bringing in guys like Ordóñez and Percival and everything else, but I like the idea that at least they're bringing some talented ball players in here. And while Todd Jones and Kenny Rogers, they may not be worth the money that they got, they're still quality ball players that they're going to make them competitive. And I'm all for making the Central Division competitive. While I am a Sox fan and I want the Sox to win, even probably more so, I want this division to be very, very competitive. And hopefully the Tigers, with all the talent they have, they could be a little bit more competitive this year and maybe win 80 games or so.
I think the Tigers could leapfrog to second. I don't think they'll get to first. I don't think they have the pitching developed yet, and I don't think they have the depth in the bullpen since they lost guys like Farnsworth, who actually did pretty good for them last year. But this team has the second-best offense in the division behind the Indians, and the only problem with them last year was they had a poor manager, and at the same time, the players didn't play hard. They gave up. And if these guys give up again, then they're just losers, and you have the wrong group. But I think they got something to build upon here, and the Tigers may be are a rising team in this division. And this is, in my opinion, one of the two or three best divisions in baseball.
Now, the one division that's considered the best, or always will be considered the best, is the American League East.
And
the Yankees and the Red Sox.
And the Blue Jays.
And the Blue Jays. I don't like to say that, though.
I know you don't, because you hate A.J. Burnett. You're just a hater.
I've always been a fan of the Blue Jays, too. I started liking them in the early 90s when they had the back-to-back World Series. I loved that team, and I was actually a fan of them, not a fan, but I did enjoy watching them, or I rooted for them since. But since getting A.J. Burnett, I don't like them quite as much. And that's not to say, that's not is the reason that I think they're not going to win the division. I'm not sure that they're good enough to win that division.
They're going to be a competitive ball club. I mean, the way I look at it, the Yankees are still the front runners. I mean, they have an old rotation with Johnson, Messina.
They have 12 starters. None of them are particularly good, but they have 12 starters.
Johnson's actually been pitching pretty damn well this spring, though. I give him credit for that. He's an ageless wonder there. But when it comes to the Yankees, a whole lot of money, a whole lot of old players. But in the end, they're going to be there. This is, once again, a team that has too many holes. They got holes in the bullpen, even though they went and paid Farnsworth big money.
Yeah.
They got an aging Rivera now, and I think that could become an issue. He's had his health problems the past couple years. You got Tom Gordon, who's, again, completely old now. And this is a Yankees team, aside from Jeter, who I have to admit, I'm not a big Jeter fan.
Me neither.
But watching him in the World Baseball Classic, I was proud to have him on our team because he was the one damn player that wasn't just up there trying to swing for the fences. He was just doing what Derek Jeter does, which is try to win, do the little things, take what the pitcher gives you and, work with that instead of trying to hit three-run homers every time you're up at the plate.
Offense,
what a joke Team USA was. And Derek Jeter and Derek Lee were about the only bright signs of things because those guys weren't playing selfish. That's my end of my rant.
I was going to see if you were done. What I was going to say, though, this offense put up great numbers last year. But I think, I know in my opinion, it was rather inconsistent numbers. They were a team that you could easily shut down, regularly. So while they were going to have those big 13-run games, you could also shut them down for 6-7 innings, consistently.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have that speed threat, but adding Johnny Damon, that's going to give him another dimension on that offense.
I think so. I don't care for Johnny Damon. I don't think he's going to have the year he's had the past couple years this year. I think he's going to fall off a little bit, but I still think he's going to be solid enough where he's going to really balance this lineup a lot more, and it's going to make this a much more consistent lineup. And with him in there, they are, in my opinion, the best offense in baseball, and that's why they're going to take the division.
I could go with that. I really love the Red Sox 3-4, but when we talk about the Yankees, the best part of signing Johnny Damon, you just took him away from the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And while the Red Sox went out and got Coco Crisp, he's not the charismatic leader and fan favorite that Johnny Damon was, even though everyone started ripping the move in Boston right when they lost Damon. Oh, it's no big deal. Let me tell you, it is a big deal to lose him. And what the Red Sox have done this offseason, they could be the third-place team in this division. The Red Sox.
It all depends.
They got Josh Beckett.
Yeah, I think he's Josh
Beckett
one.
Is a hell of a pitcher, but he's like A.J. Burnett. When's he going to prove that he can stay healthy and actually do things? At least Beckett has proved he can win a big game.
Yeah. I think that's the one positive, him over Burnett. And I think Beckett does have to show that he could stay healthy. I mean, outside of Beckett, obviously you have Schilling, and there's David Wells in rotation, Matt Clement. The Papelbon. Did I say his name right?
I have no idea. Jonathan Papelbon. The guy that they all call the next Kerry Wood. They better hope he's not the next Kerry Wood. Because ask Cub fans how great Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor are doing right now. I think they're both in rehab together. But this is why. The Red Sox, you just said it out. That rotation puts no fear in me whatsoever. Josh Beckett's A-plus arm. Curt Schilling, done. He couldn't throw the ball 87, 88 mile an hour last year. His ankle is just not the same. You have David Wells. He started showing signs last year. You just can't think that in his type of physical condition that he's going to be able to succeed very much this year. And then Matt Clement, another guy who has a great arm, but he started getting shellacked last year after he got beamed. And I don't know if it was the fact that the American League figured him out or he was just afraid to pitch because he was getting hit. He got that shot up the middle. But that is not a good rotation. And their bullpen is still relying on a guy like Keith Foulke, who, if I remember right, he just got hurt again, or he's hurt a little bit. This is a bad pitching staff, bar none. And their offense was downgraded when they lost Johnny Damon. Consider this my second rant of the show. It's how much of a down, bad offseason the Boston Red Sox have had.
I will say this in defense of the Red Sox. They still have Ramirez and Ortiz, which is probably the best duo in baseball. And their rotation was probably worse last year.
That is a good point. It may have been worse. And if Beckett can stay healthy, and if Schilling regains his form, and if, they could have a damn good rotation. But a lot of the stars are going to have to align in Boston for this to happen again. But that offense is going to bail them out. And they have Theo Epstein there. They have money available, so they're going to be able to go out and make moves to bolster this ball club as the season goes. So I think we'll see a little bit different Red Sox team in the second half of the season following some trades. But I actually like, and call me crazy, I think the Blue Jays are going to have a shot. They got Lyle Overbay at first. Troy Gloss is there. And Gloss had a big season. They've added some pop to go with Vernon Wells and some of the other younger players they have. I mean, they got a rotation with Halliday, Burnett, Gustavo Shocken. I think, did they keep Miguel Batista in their bullpen?
I believe so. I believe so. I'm not positive on that.
And then they added B.J. Ryan, gave him a lot of money. And it'll be a question whether he can close. But if he pitches like he did in Baltimore in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning, they're going to have a real good closer. This is a big-time upgraded team.
I just want to correct myself on that. I think Batista's on the Diamondbacks now. I don't think he's with the Blue Jays. But nonetheless, they did add B.J. Ryan. And I was about to say Surhoff for some reason. Why would I say B.J. Surhoff? Do they have B.J. Surhoff? No.
No.
They don't have B.J. Surhoff, and I don't think he would be much of an impact as a reliever. But B.J. Ryan, while he got overpaid, he's still a talented pitcher. Now, I want to go to where you're at. You're on the West Coast. You're in California.
Whoa. Are we just going to skip the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, that's right.
They signed Carlos Hernandez. They now have two catchers making like $7 million a year.
Yeah, but I think one of them is going to DH. Or play first.
Or play first base.
So they know what they're doing, though.
Yeah, because they went out and got Benson. Just for Anna Benson,
I guess. Mazzoni.
Yeah, that's the best move they made all their entire past 10 years was getting Mazzoni, because maybe they can figure out that pitching staff. But all the Orioles do, throw money at offense and ignore their faults at pitching. The Orioles would be a pretty solid ball club if they could find some pitching. And then, of course, there's the orphans of the AL East. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays. They don't even have their premier manager anymore in Lou Piniella. I think they hired Joe Maddon from the Angels, the bench coach. Yeah. And I just feel bad for them. They're never going to ever make the playoffs. You have three teams, and Angelos is Orioles, and then the Red Sox and Yankees. They're going to be willing to spend the Yankees $200 million, the Red Sox $140 million, and then the Orioles $100-some-odd million. And now all of a sudden Toronto's spending money. Tampa Bay's just screwed.
And you know what? They have some talent. This isn't a team that just a poorly run organization. They've always been, but they do have some talented players on there. They were competitive down the stretch, and they screwed a couple teams, I believe. So, I mean, they do have some talent, just that because they are where they are, they're never going to do anything because they don't have the money to spend.
It's a sad fact of baseball, although baseball has gotten a lot more competitive these past couple years since their last signing, collective bargaining, whatever it's called. But now we can go to the West. You just can't ignore that East, Mario. I mean, ESPN likes to talk about it, so we got to talk about it.
We have no choice.
But in the AL West,
our minds.
In the AL West, you have the Angels, who've been repeating the past couple years, and they've been the big market team out here. They won their suit. They're now officially the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Run-on sentence extraordinaire.
Are people like making a big deal about it over there? People in Anaheim?
Oh, man.
Actual citizens.
I am so jacked up. I mean, the things we can do being named LA, it's going to be amazing out here. Of course not. We wanted to be Anaheim. I think any Angel fan would have said, make it Anaheim or go back and rename us the California Angels and bring Gene Autry back.
But you know what? You don't see any fallout in support then from the fans, do you?
No, in fact, there's no way. The Angels, they're probably about as successful of a franchise as there is. Where they're now waiting list. You can't even get season tickets. They've already sold over 3 million tickets again for the third year in a row.
Do they think that's because of the name change?
Oh, no, it's not because of the name change.
No, but do they think that?
No. Marino is a very sharp guy. He's probably one of the smartest owners in all baseball.
Well, I don't like him because he changed the name, so I'm not going
to. Yeah, that's just because you can't read. So Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, it takes you 10 minutes to read it and figure out what it says. But they will. Everyone, put your money down. Angels, they will repeat the division. You asked me a month ago, I would have said they finished second or third. But they went out and they signed Jeff Weaver. So now they have.
You think that's the difference?
Puts him over the top. That's the difference maker.
Oh.
Look at that rotation: Bartolo Colon, Kelvin Escobar, John Lackey, Jeff Weaver, Irvin Santana. That's a good rotation. And that's got two aces at the top. If Escobar's healthy, Escobar's an ace in my mind.
I think that's a rotation full of question marks. Personally, outside of Colon. And, I mean, Lackey, he steps it up when he needs to, but,
Lackey turned his corner. Weaver's a good pitcher. Santana's the only question mark. Yeah, Weaver is a good pitcher. Go look up his stats in Los Angeles. He's not the pitcher that was on the Yankees a few years back. He is a good pitcher. And that bullpen is good. They finally went out and they revamped that bullpen. They got J.C. Romero. They finally have a lefty. They still got K-Rod.
Okay.
They still got Scott Shields.
Okay.
They still got Donald.
See, you asked me to go look at Weaver, and I'm not really one to kind of just sit on stats alone, okay? So, you know, don't take this against – no, you know, make it as a knock against me. But he had a 4.22 ERA not only in the National League but with the Dodgers. Doesn't that say anything? He gave up 220 hits. Doesn't that say anything?
It says that he's going to be a good fourth starter.
He's a third starter.
He's the fourth starter.
Well, they just named him the third starter.
Well, I don't know what's happening with Escobar, Colon, and Lackey.
This is my theory. Better. When you take a National League pitcher and you move him to the American League, I think naturally their ERA is going to drop about a quarter, maybe a half, okay? Now you take him from the L.A., which L.A. has been known to have pitchers have lower ERAs because of the stadium that they're in. You could see Jeff Weaver going back to the Weaver of old. Or at least I could see him doing that.
All right, you just work with me. The Weaver of old, 159 innings in 2003 with the Yankees, 211 hits. 2004, 2005, 220 innings, 219 hits. And then in 2005, 224 innings, 220 hits. He's throwing 200 innings plus. He's giving up fewer hits than innings pitch. He's not walking many batters, and he's getting a decent amount of strikeouts. This guy's a good pitcher, and the Angels are going to prove that. But that said, the reason why not.
I'm calling you out on that, dude.
We'll see what happens at the end of the year. I'm more than willing to be made fun of. But you just lost my whole train of thought. What I was going to say is this offense is the reason why they wouldn't win the division, because it's atrocious. Garrett Anderson, he's been hurt ever since he signed his fat contract. And the only guy they have in that offense is Vlad Guerrero. That's it. And they got a lot of developing youngsters to go with Sean Figgins, Darren Erstad, who's going to be in center field. They're a good defensive ball club. They're a very well-managed ball club. They got a good pitching staff and bullpen. But this offense is putrid. Probably one of the worst in baseball.
Wow.
And that's what scares me. They didn't make any adjustments to that. And Stoneman, who I call the ballish GM, I'm not a fan, is just sitting back and hoping his prospects can pan out. And that's fine and Danny, but when you lose Benji Molina to frickin' Toronto, and you don't, and you replace him with his brother, Jose Molina, who stinks, and you just rely on Jeff Mathis to step up and basically skip a level, they're going to be a real poor offensive team.
So that would be the reason for their fall, as far as finishing.
And their fall, they're either going to finish first or third. And then it's going to be Oakland and Texas in that order. Mm-hmm. And Oakland is going to be a dangerous team with their young pitching.
Well, they have a pretty deep team, you know, balanced all around. You know, their offense, I mean, outside of really Chavez, they don't have any big-time name players, but they got a lot bunch of solid players.
Yeah, they're going to be solid because they got Milton Bradley, Bobby Crosby, Jason Kendall is solid. They got Kotze.
Yeah.
This is a real Swisher solid ball club.
And all these just these solid ball players. So, yeah, I think they are going to be good.
How did you forget your man on the Italian World Baseball team? Maybe he's not Italian. Scudero. Is that Italian?
Possibly.
How do you not mention? He's their second baseman.
Was he on the Italian team?
He was you know what, I think he's on like Puerto Rico.
I don't think he was. I think Menichino was, Catalanato was. I don't think Scudero was.
We should be.
It might be Scudavo.
But this is a good ball club, this A's team. And then they, like you mentioned, balanced lineup and that pitching staff, Dan Hurren, Barry Zito,
Harden.
Yeah, Harden. They added someone, Esteban Loaiza.
Well, I think Loaiza might be their fifth or sixth starter. I'm not sure if they're necessarily expecting him to be around that much. But this is a deep rotation. I can't think of the fourth pitcher Is it Blanton? Is it Joe Blanton?
Oh, yeah, Joe Blanton.
Yeah,
Joe
he's their other guy. So, and then, of course, you have Houston Street, who I thought did a
tremendous job.
Yeah, considering he was a rookie being thrown into a playoff situation as a closer, I think he did a really good job. So this team's going to be competitive. I actually like all the teams here in the American League West. I think the Rangers improved. I even think the Mariners improved.
Yeah, they're a solid division. I mean, the Rangers, if they can find some pitching, I know they're trying to trade for a starter right now to go with Kevin Millwood, who, while they gave him too much money, they needed pitching, and this is basically, they threw way too much at him. But if he can pitch like he did in Cleveland, this is a big move for that team because they got a great offense with guys like Blaylock, Michael Young, Teixeira. This is a good ball club, this Texas team. It's young. It's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And they got some good young pitchers. It's just a matter of developing them.
Now we're going to stay in the West and just go to the National League. This is the... What's the word for this division?
UGLY ugly?
Pretty close, yes. The San Diego Padres, they finished in first last year, and they seem like they're more or less going to be the best of the rest again.
Wrong.
No.
The Dodgers of Los Angeles are going to be the team to beat in this division. They made a lot of moves. And they're not going to win a World Series, but they signed a bunch of veterans, guys like Bill Miller, Nomar Garcia-Parra, who's going to play first. They were an injured team last year. They're probably going to be injured again this year because they're following the Giants' philosophy under new GM Ned Coletti.
You mean J.D. Drew isn't going to have a great year?
Oh, he'll have a great year for the 2 or 3 weeks he plays.
I'm shocked.
He'll have a great 2 or 3 weeks of the season. But this is a Dodgers team that still has a pretty solid pitching staff with, you know, a Dallas Perez. They got a lot of young pitchers. They traded for Jay Sal. They got a strong bullpen because they got Danny Baez, Eric Gagne, Jay Sal.
Just with Baez and Gagne alone, especially if Gagne's healthy, that might be the best two guys in the bullpen that any team has. Especially Baez, he was productive last year in the American League East. You throw him in the National League and in the West, especially if he handles the role as being a setup man, I think that could be a great duo in the back of that bullpen.
Oh, yeah. They're a really solid bullpen. They added Furcal. They gave him too much money, but Furcal's a good top-of-the-order player. He's a damn good shortstop. Then they got Cesar Estures, who's going to come back and maybe play second base and shortstop a little bit, with Jeff Kent, obviously, at second base. What can you say about Jeff Kent? He may be a prick, he may be a lot of things, but he's a great player. And this is going to be a good offensive team if it can stay healthy. And the reason I like them over the Padres, and I'm not going to even talk about the Diamondbacks because they made some moves, but they're not going to go anywhere. And then the rest of the division, obviously Colorado stinks.
And there's the Giants.
The Giants, you know, they're going to be, as Barry Bonds does, so will the Giants. and Barry Bonds isn't going to be healthy this year. But the reason I like the Dodgers over the Padres is the Padres didn't really go out and boost their ball club like the Dodgers did. And the Padres, they went out and they got Mike Piazza. All right, solid move, but you're in a pitcher's ballpark. You better have yourself a good defensive catcher, and they didn't do that. So teams are going to be running on him like wild, and we saw in spring training. We happened to see Piazza play.
I think three or four stolen bases in the one game. Yeah, I don't know about eight, but it was about three or four. So, no, you are right. Piazza's going to have some trouble even, you know, staying healthy. He's getting up there in age. Who knows if he's going to be able to put up a full season there.
But the Padres did make some good moves. They did bring Brian Giles back. And you got to like the fact they went out and got Mike Cameron. And Cameron's a real good defensive ball player.
And he's going to fit
in nicely in that park. Yeah. So it's going to come down Dodgers-Padres. It's going to be a great race.
Now the Padres, they made the playoffs last year. They won the division. And they promptly got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals, who are in the National League Central and who should be the easy favorites to win it again.
Oh yeah, this division you can just write it down and
yes.
Send it in.
And I think the only way that doesn't happen if there's a miracle season from another team. And that's not a knock on the Brewers, who I believe improved. It's not a knock on the Cubs, who I think improved. It's not a knock on the Astros, who while they didn't really improve, they're still a decent ball club. This is just Cardinals team. They are simply one of the best in baseball, easily the best in the National League.
The only question with the Cardinals is, are they going to choke again in the playoffs? But they're going to have a better Mark Mulder this year.
I think so, too.
And, I mean, Chris Carpenter, wow, what a season. What can you say?
Yeah.
And that offense is just filthy. I mean, they're going to have
Roland. If Roland's healthy for a full season.
It's downright impressive with guys like Jim Edmonds, Albert Pujols, Scotty Roland. They're going to be a good ball club.
Yeah.
As they've been the past few years. The only question with them is how far are they going to go? Because the Cubs, with their pitchers all hurt, aside from Zambrano,
yeah,
they're not going to go anywhere.
Now, I don't want to run down this entire division, but if there's one team out of the Cubs, Brewers, Astros, who are going to finish second place and possibly scare the Cardinals a little bit, or at least get on the radar, which team is it going to be?
It's not going to be the Astros. They're going to be right with Cincinnati, right in that range.
Yeah, I think the Astros are going to be in the third, fourth place range, too.
If we're talking about a scare, they're going to have to really play damn well. It would have to be the Cubs, and all the stars would have to align, and their pitchers would all have to be healthy. I love what the Brewers have done and what they're doing, but I can't possibly see the Brewers catching the Cardinals.
I think they're another offseason away. I think if they have a Carlos Lee. If they could keep a Carlos Lee and sign him to a contract extension, because he's obviously a big part of that offense, and they could go into the next offseason and make some moves and make some big moves, they could be really a team to watch in 2007.
Especially with the Cardinals starting to age. I mean, Jim Edmonds and Scott Rowland aren't getting any younger. So this Cardinals window is starting to close, and the Brewers window is opening.
Yeah.
So I think you could be seeing that type of change of the guards, in a sense, in the the NL Central.
Now in the East, the Braves. I think they're going for their 15th consecutive division title. Isn't that
ever 15th? Since I was seven, they've won. Unbelievable.
It's amazing. And now the Mets, they probably had one of the busiest off seasons in baseball. Bringing in
what? That was a tremendous off season. Carlos Delgado, Billy Wagner.
Is that going to be enough though to top a Braves team that had so many young guys playing last year? This is a young team, and if those guys develop like you would think, because they are getting, you know, a year older, wouldn't they be the favorites again?
I think this is going to be a big, who knows what happens. Every single team in this division could win it.
Well, are you including the Marlins?
I am concluding the Marlins.
Whoa.
I'm basing it on their spring training record. It's fantastic.
Aren't the Diamondbacks doing good too? You disregarded them.
Hey, it's the Marlins. You never count the Marlins out. When they expect to be good, they do awful. When they're expected to be bad, they win the World Series.
You know what? The Marlins are 16-6.
Compare that to the White Sox. I think we're like 7-16.
The Reds are 16-11.
That's it. Put your money down. Cincinnati Reds, Florida Marlins, NL Central, NLCS championships.
And your hunch with the Royals?
We don't need to discuss this.
Your hunch with the Royals? They're 13-9.
Could you believe it? If George Mason could win the NCAA championships, why not?
We're getting into NCAA predictions now. Hmm.
I think we might as well quit the show here. Cincinnati, I mean, we're the experts. When this comes true, we're going to be on ESPN. This is your SportsCenter update.
Now back to the show. Now let's get back to two guys who actually know what they're doing. It's not us. We have to find
it's the Atlanta Braves. It's John Smoltz and Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones. And they got Edgar Renteria now to replace Furcal. This is a good Braves team, and obviously I wouldn't bet against them.
No, never can you bet against them since and you're the 7 Mets, years old.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. Never have I seen a more successful franchise and at the same time such a feudal franchise since they only won one World Series.
I know.
And then you have the Mets. The Mets didn't improve enough because their rotation sucks. They're relying on Pedro Martinez's big toe, and he's making his first start of spring training. And aside from Martinez, they got nothing in that rotation.
But they have Zambrano, they have Glavin.
Oh, Victor Zambrano, Tom Glavin. You better... Jeez, they're going to scare me in the playoffs.
Well, no, they're relying purely off this offense. David Wright, Delgado, Beltran, Laduca, Floyd. They're relying purely off this offense. And, you know, with the Billy Wagner in the bullpen.
It just won't work. They just have, basically, they have Pedro Martinez and four fourth or fifth starters. We saw what happened with the White Sox. We had years where we had Bartolo Colon and Esteban Loaiza and Mark Burley, and it didn't work for us with our bats. It's not going to work for the Mets. They're not going to win the World Series unless they go out and find some pitchers.
But they're probably the one team in baseball that if you're judging on talent alone as far as the team that's talented enough to maybe just explode, they're kind of like the hit-or-miss team.
Basically, they're the New York Yankees, the same type of offense in a sense, that powerful juggernaut offense, but the Yankees have a bar-none more explosive pitching staff, and that says something. What have the Yankees done the past 5 years?
Well, they made the playoffs at least.
Oh, yeah, the Mets could make the playoffs, but that division, I mean, the Nationals, Soriano actually willing to play the outfield, making errors out there now. I mean, the Nationals, you got to give them credit. They got one of the best closers in baseball in Chad Cordero out of Cal State Fullerton.
That's why he's the best, though, because he's out of Cal State Fullerton.
Well, do you hear anyone from Columbia Broadcasting School in Chicago? When you see someone playing the majors from there, okay, then you can come and brag about it.
You went to a university. I went to a smaller college. I'm not even sure.
You don't see me bragging about Cedric Ceballos and Bruce Bowen, who went to Fullerton.
Cedric Ceballos.
Fine basketball school. We have a proud history at Cal State Fullerton. And with that, now I think we should just quickly recap and run down who we think is going to win the division, who's going to be in the World Series. Go.
Okay. American League Central, I know it's the White Sox. In the AL East, the New York Yankees. In the AL West, it's the Angels. The wild card, I'm going to go and I'm going to say that the Minnesota Twins are going to win the wild card, just like I said it last year.
Wow. Can't we argue about anything? That's the exact same division. That's the way I see everything folding out. The only difference is I could really see Oakland winning the wild card over the Twins. And to make it to the World Series, Chicago White Sox.
So you're thinking that they're going to get the reliever they need in July?
It's Ken Williams. Have no doubt. We'll trade for Eric Gagne for all I know.
You know who I think is going to win the World Series?
The Royals.
The A's.
But they didn't make the playoffs in your prediction.
They're going to have a little tweak in the scheduling that's going to make them in the playoffs. They're going to add 7 teams.
Okay. I think the Royals have more of a shot than that happening, the whole 7-team scenario.
The National League. The Cardinals are winning the Central. I think that's a no-doubter. And the wild card's not coming from the Central, I wouldn't think. Maybe the Brewers, right? Because no. I think we both agree the Braves are going to come out in the National League East. And the Dodgers, you said, are going to win in the West. So what about the Brewers winning the wild card?
Not going to happen. Wild card's coming out of the East. Oh, you know what? I could actually see the Central or the West getting the wild card just because the East is going to beat the hell out of each other. That's going to be a tough division, I mean, to really have a good record in.
Well, I'm picking the Brewers to win the wild card.
my wild card will be the San Diego Padres. West will get two in, and they'll get two swept out immediately.
Immediately. So you're saying the Cardinals and the Braves in the championship, and then the Cardinals go to the World Series?
Braves. World Series. Braves beat the White Sox.
I don't think the Sox are going to go to the World Series. I hope they do. I don't know. I think this is way too hard to happen, and I think they have too many bullpen issues for that to happen. But the Braves making the World Series is very interesting.
They got rid of their problem. See, the reason they would always choke in the playoffs was Leo Mazzoni.
He's their reason?
No.
Why didn't you tell him that before?
Now they finally made the moves that are going to be necessary to win the World Series again. Getting rid of Leo Mazzoni.
He was really dragging this franchise down. Just dragging him through the mud.
Horrendous. I mean, how could you have a pitching coach that was that bad for 14 years? I mean, think of how great Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and John Smoltz, that trio, could have been. It's just sad to see.
It's a good thing Maddux went to the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. And he's really turned it on under Dusty Baker. Let me tell you, prime of his career.
All right, well, you want to take a guess as to how long our show went?
I'm going to go with our longest show ever. Hour yes. And 15 minutes.
In our 3 weeks of doing this show, it's our longest show ever.
We just set a show record.
It was 1 hour. Roughly 1 hour, which is very long for me. It makes me sleepy. It makes me tired.
Well, then, you know what? Rockabye baby.
No, you know what? Why don't you just go and do a show by yourself like you did last time? You didn't even ask me.
You know what's great? After I did my solo show, I've actually found some replacements for you. Bose, Mercy, they all want to do a show with me. You don't see people coming and want to do a show with you, Mario. Alright, Mario is the greatest, because before he starts crying, we probably should end the show, just because I don't want him to be embarrassed.
Wait, they seriously, they don't want me to be on the show?
Nah, you've just been fired. No, of course they want you to be on the show.
I'm trying so hard.
It's all right. We'll get you ice cream after the show.
Awesome. Awesome. You're going to send it in from California?
Oh, yeah. You just look for that box. It's just totally liquidy.
I'll drink it with a straw.
You know what's going to happen to you? Just think of Chef from South Park.
You're going to kill me, huh?
Yeah.
You're going to take sound clips from past shows and just... Hello, children.
Yeah.
I want to make love to your children.
I'm not even going to have to take clips. You're doing it right here for me.
Did you see that, though?
That's classic.
Awesome episode.
That's what South Park is. One of the funniest damn shows on TV.
Yes, it is. Well, I got to go. It's time for me to go.
As we expand our record show, I'd like to say thanks for listening.
Yes.
As always, if you have feedback, send it to contact@futuresox.com. And make sure you check out Mario's other shows, 360thepitch.com. And, of course, check out Sox Talk. Go pick up an issue of Sports Illustrated. Read about us. Read about our great rumors we start.
Ooh.
Juicy. And we'll see you next Monday.
Take care.